Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the City of Perth July Ordinary Council meeting. I formally declare the Ordinary Council meeting for the City of Perth open at 5pm. Please be advised that this meeting will be audio recorded and the recording will be available on the City's website tomorrow. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to elders past and present. It is a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. CEO, can you please recite the prayer?
Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion, and to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, CEO. In attendance today, we have Councillor Di Bain, Councillor Clyde Bevan, Councillor Brent Felician, Councillor Liam Gobbett, Councillor Rebecca Gordon, Councillor Victor Coe, and Councillor Catherine Leeser. In addition, I welcome the Chief Executive Officer, other officers and members of the public in attendance today. CEO, do we have any apologies?
No, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Item 3.2, leave of absence. The Lord Mayor is on an approved leave of absence from 21 July 2021 to 2nd of August 2021, inclusive. Item 3.5, applications for leave of absence. Do any council members have an application for leave of absence? No applications. We now move to item 4, announcements. The August agenda briefing session on 24 August 2021 will commence at 4pm and the August ordinary council meeting will take place on 31st of August 2021 and will commence at 2pm. These trial meeting times are intended to provide an opportunity for members of the community to attend a meeting during the day. Moving on to item 5.1, public questions. We've received a number of questions in advance of the meeting today. Each person who has submitted a question will be asked to come to the lectern in turn and ask their questions. Questions from members of the public who are unable to attend will be read aloud by the CEO. I note that questions must relate to the business of the council and are not to be in the form of a statement or personal opinion, and this is in accordance with 5.71 of the City's Standing Orders Local Law 2009. CEO, can you please read the first question?
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. The question is from KQ Ho and Belinda Ho from 1A Barenko Place in Willerton. The first question reads, what were the attendance or crowd sizes at the Nativity event in the past few years, including last year's during the current COVID period? The answer... In 2020, so for one night, 350 people in attendance at Forest Place, and there were COVID-limited attendance, so it was limited to 540 tickets. In 2019, over two nights, 10,000 people, Supreme Court Gardens. 2018, three nights, 13,000 people, Supreme Court Gardens. 2017, three nights, 13,000 people, Supreme Court Gardens, albeit there was a change in venue to accommodate the crowds. In 2016, over four nights, 13,000, Forest Place, and added an extra night to accommodate the crowds. And in 2015, over three nights, 13,000 at Forest Place. Crowds were presenting and becoming congested at the time. I'll lead on to the second question is, was it an event well attended by people of various ethnic and religious backgrounds in our Perth community every year? The event impact report for the 2019 Christmas Nativity event found that 50% of the respondents were born overseas and 11% mainly speak a language other than English. In regard to a religion, 31% of respondents identified as Catholic, 32% as other Christian religions, 19% as no religion, and 11% as Anglican. Hinduism, Judaism, Islam and Buddhism were also identified by less than 2% of the respondents. Moving on to question 3. Doesn't the event reflect the meaning of the Christmas festive season, which is celebrated by many people of various ethnic and religious backgrounds in our cosmopolitan city? in answering. CEO has approved the signature event, Council has approved the signature events plan 21-22, which includes the delivery of a Christmas nativity event with a budget allocation of $50,000. The signature events plan for 21-22 is a significant investment in events to attract people to Perth and support the hospitality, retail and tourism sectors. Moving through to question four, can we please have the nativity event made even bigger and better than ever, since the Christmas festive season is also associated with peace, joy and hope, and we really need these during the COVID times more than ever? And in response, the city will provide a nativity event within the scope of the budget approved by council.
Thank you, CEO. Do we have any other questions? The next one.
To the next question.
Next question.
Mm-hmm.
So the next question is from Peter Abetz from 67 Froudis Circle in Southern River. May I ask Peter to come to stand? Before commencing, I'd just like to remind you that public question time for asking questions and not making statements. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. My first question is the Council aware that it will be impossible to stage the nativity event as it has been done for so many years with the live animals and the various choirs and characters in the Supreme Court Gardens and Forest Place on account of the funding having been slashed from $330,000 to $50,000?
Thank you for that question, Peter. It is acknowledged that the nativity event will be different to previous years based on this year's budget. However, this does not prevent the city from providing a successful nativity event in Forest Place as it did last year. To put the nativity budget in context, we acknowledge that while in past years the City of Perth spent $300,000 on the nativity and hosted between 10,000 to 13,000 people, we contrast the City of Lights Christmas Trail City Christmas Trail, which activates the city for 45 nights, attracting 370,000 people. And also the sponsored event, the Christmas Pageant, which the city sponsors the amount of 100,000, which draws 50,000 people.
Thank you. My second question is the Council aware that its defunding of the nativity event is being interpreted by many in the community as a means the Council is using to remove the historic story of the birth of Jesus Christ from the public square?
No, the City is committed to celebrating Christmas with a nativity event, and the nativity event is going ahead, albeit in a different form. The city is also celebrating Christmas with its Christmas lights trail, decorations throughout the city and support of the Christmas pageant.
Thank you.
The next question is from Marion Savage. Would you please come to the stand and state your address?
Good evening. I'm Marianne Savage from 19 Floyd Street, Drigg. And my first question is, given that the funding allocated for the 2021 Nativity event is insufficient to even replicate the small Nativity event held in Forest Place last year, what kind of event did the Council envisage would be staged with the $50,000 allocated for this at the meeting on May the 25th?
I refer this question to the CEO.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. The event will proceed with a $50,000 budget allocation and will deliver a quality Christmas nativity event in Forest Place as part of the Christmas celebrations in the city. This event will accommodate approximately 1,000 people, subject to COVID restrictions, on one evening in December 2021. The event will invite local church, community groups or performers to present the traditional story of Christmas on stage.
And can I add a question just to your answer? In view of the biggest audience really being children, who probably don't have a voice, I want to ask how will you actually ensure that the quality of having the live animals, the size of the choirs and the sort of just the things that appeal to them actually being done in a way that will appeal to them, since there's not much else really being done for children that age? So that's for future. And then my second, so I don't know if you want to answer that now or...
Other than to say that it is the city's intention to ensure that there is a quality Christmas nativity event, and what that involves will be part of the discussion with those who deliver the event on behalf of the city and to community.
Then my other prepared question was, is there a mechanism available to the council to increase the funding to such a level that the popular and highly acclaimed nativity event that has been part of the city's Christmas calendar for so many years can again be held in the Supreme Court gardens on several evenings?
I'll refer this question to the CEO.
So Council has made the decision on funding the nativity through the budget adoption, and the city as a consequence will provide the nativity event within the scope of the budget that has been approved.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Marianne. The next question is from Michelle Myers. Michelle, will you please step up to the lectern and ask your questions? And before you do so, just state your address. Not in attendance? I'll ask the CEO to read the question.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Why was the nativity event the only event under item 12.5 in the ordinary council meeting on May 25th, 2021 that did not receive the level of funding recommended by the staff?
So that decision has already been made, and the discussion and reasons for the decision are on the item, are publicly available in the audio and papers available on the city's website. A further question, CEO?
Yes, the second question, is the council not leaving itself open to criticism of being exclusive rather than inclusive by preventing the very popular Christmas nativity event from being produced when over 50% of the community at the last census date chose to identify as Christian?
Thank you, CEO. The city is not only committed to the nativity event, but also committed to being inclusive. This is illustrated in the agenda tonight, where we will later discuss the city's equity, diversity and inclusion framework. The city's inclusive approach is also evidenced in the diverse range of events and programs it provides and supports. The next question we've received is from Rosemary Bruce. Is Rosemary here today? CEO, I'll ask you to read the question.
As a grandmother who has taken her daughter, son and grandchildren to see the nativity event over the years in the Supreme Court gardens and seen the delight on the faces of my grandchildren as the story of Christmas is acted out so beautifully with the live animals and the choirs and all the various characters, did you give thought to the great disappointment you will cause many children and adults this Christmas by cutting the funding so that the event cannot be staged and the negative sentiment this will generate towards the city?
Thank you, CEO. As noted, to the answer to the previous question, this decision has already been made and the discussion and reasons for the decision on the item are publicly available in the audio and papers available on the city's website. However, I think it's important to note that the city's commitment to Christmas celebrations is evident. In addition to putting on the nativity, the Christmas lights trail, which last year was enjoyed by 370,000 people, and also the Christmas pageant, which the city supports, enjoyed by a further 50,000 people. Question six from Janine Lowe. Is Janine here this evening? No. Okay. CEO to read out the question.
Given that the city prides itself on being inclusive, does it not recognise that defunding the nativity event to the point where it cannot be produced is insulting to the Christian community when all the other events receive the staff recommended level of funding?
Again, as already noted, the decision has been made and the discussion and reasons for the decision on the item are publicly available in the audio and papers on the city's website. Again, it's important to note the city's commitment to Christmas celebrations, and while it's acknowledged that nativity will be different to previous years based on this year's budget, the city is committed to a successful nativity event in Forest Place. And other celebrations, again, enjoyed by 370,000 people last year, being the Christmas lights trail. Is there another question, CEO?
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Yes. How is the slashing of the funding for the Nativity event as per the minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting held on the 25th of May 2021 consistent with the decision made at the Ordinary Council meeting held on the 24th of November 2020, Item 19, Urgent Business, which records that Council is committed to funding the Nativity event in 2021?
Thank you, CEO. These decisions are not inconsistent. In both decisions, the Council committed to funding the Nativity event for the Nativity to go ahead. Question 7 is from Lizelle. Is Lizelle here this evening? No. CEO, will you please read out the question?
Given that Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, why did the Council not trim a little funding off other events such as the Christmas lights or Skyworks to enable the Nativity event to be funded to the same level as it was pre-COVID so that this brilliant production could once again bring the Christmas story to the fore and bring joy to thousands of people who would come to the city, which would benefit businesses which have been struggling?
Thank you, CEO. Questions relating to the Nativity have been responded to in the previous questions, and again I note the decision is contained in the minutes of the meeting. But again, as previously noted, the successful Christmas lights show attracts over 370,000 people over 45 nights, and the Nativity will go ahead, albeit in different form. Question 8 from Court Stephanakis. Is Court here today? Thank you. You please turn the lectern.
It's Stephanakis, Deputy Mayor.
If Court, would you please state your address?
Yeah, 72A Flinders Street, Mount Hawthorne.
Thank you. And before you commence, just like to remind you that public question times are asking questions and not making statements. Thank you.
Yeah. Good evening, CEO Edmund, Deputy Mayor and Councillors. Thank you for the opportunity to bring questions to you. My first question is, why have most, if not all, councillors that I have spoken to not been able to give me a clear answer on the questions I've asked about the traditional Christmas nativity show, its budget cut and funding to all, its budget cut and funding to all the events in the City of Perth for Christmas New Year? They have advised me that it's up to the Lord Mayor or to refer it to the Lord Mayor or Edmund. It appears to me that the Lord Mayor is gagging the Council from discussions based on my observations from discussions I've had with a number of them. I'm consistently told to speak to the Lord Mayor to raise my issues with him.
Thank you, Courts. As already noted, the decision has been made and the discussion and reasons for that decision on the item are publicly available in the audio and papers on the City's website. In relation to your comments on the Lord Mayor, I would just like to note that this is not correct. You will see from decisions in various matters that all of the council members vote independently and in different ways, and there's no direction there.
Can I answer to that? Because I don't feel that you answered my question.
If you would like to answer the question.
Yeah, I don't feel that you answered my question. I asked why have most, if not all, councillors that I've spoken to not been able to give me answers for the questions that I asked all of you at Council. I still haven't received an answer, and I've written to everybody, except a couple of answers here and there that vary. So I'm just asking, why haven't I been able to get answers?
I guess, personally, I answered your email when you wrote to me and you thanked me for my response, so I didn't refer the matter on. I can't speak on behalf of the other councillors, but I do know that the Lord Mayor would not be preventing people from speaking on the matter.
Well, I've been told otherwise. I've been told that I had to refer to the Lord Mayor, that he's in charge, and to refer to him or pass me on to Edmund. I've consistently told that, Deputy Mayor, so I'm just wondering why that is, and I still haven't received answers. That's what I'm asking you.
As I noted at the outset, it's public question time. It's for questions, and this appears to be erring on statements.
Yes,
do you have another question?
I just wanted to get an answer, that's all. I didn't get an answer. So
it's been noted. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have another question?
Yes, I do. You all campaigned on your independent and unaligned thinking. Can you guarantee us as ratepayers and citizens that we will get the respect and response that should be afforded to the public and especially the families that comes into the city at Christmas time enough be given the runaround or met with arrogance, dismissal, condescending behaviour, no acknowledgement, or interacted rudely with?
I'll refer this question to the CEO.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. All elected members are required to comply with the Council's Code of Conduct for Council members, committee members and candidates.
Thank you. Do you have another question, Court?
Yes, I do. Question 3. You all state you're in favour of the public holding you to your words and promises, but why is it that nearly all of you have flip-flopped on your 2020 decision in less than 12 months regards your stance on the traditional Christmas nativity show?
Thank you, Courts. As I've stated in the answer to the previous questions, the City is committed to the nativity, and both of these decisions were consistent. In both decisions, the Council committed to funding the nativity.
Can I respond to that? Because I don't feel that that's an answer to my question.
That's the question answered.
Can I respond, CEO?
If you have another question.
That hasn't answered my question. Sorry, Deputy Mayor. In November last year, the Christmas Nativity was voted on 8-9 in favour in this House to return the Christmas Nativity that we fought for, and that my petition got over 7.2 thousand signatures for. The overturn and the reinstatement of that particular Christmas Nativity under the Lord Mayor and under all of you that supported it was to return the traditional Christmas Nativity. What we got last year was a shorter version because it was only 12 days to deliver it. So I think that my question is fair to ask. Why hasn't the City of Perth followed with what the public believed we were getting, which was the overturning of the traditional Christmas Nativity, because nowhere in the council meetings words or anything else does it state that we were getting the shorter version which we had last year, which was a shortcut of Jesus' birth story with no live animals, half cast, no pre-show, all that kind of stuff. So it's not delivered.
Thank you for your question. I feel the question has been answered. The City is committed to the Nativity, and in both of those decisions, the City committed to funding the Nativity.
Well, you haven't answered my question as a council.
We've answered your question. I think we'll move on to the next question.
You haven't answered it, and I speak on behalf of thousands of people, Deputy Mayor.
Another question?
But I'm not satisfied with that answer. I'm trying to get you to consider what we're actually asking you as I put those questions in yesterday, so I feel that there was enough time to get a reasonable answer to a reasonable question.
Well, the question's been answered. I'm just reading your question back. You say that the Council has flip-flopped on our decision.
Correct.
We've not flip-flopped
on
the decision.
Well, yes, you have, because it was 8-9 vote in favour to return the traditional Christmas Nativity that was going on for 24 years.
I think we're just going to move on to the next question. That question's now been answered.
So, on the record, you're not answering the question.
The question's been answered.
It hasn't been answered. I'm sorry. Question 4. We, on behalf of all the ratepayers and Greater Perth community, seek an urgent reconsideration of thinking on the traditional family event. The traditional Christmas Nativity production should not be reduced to a $50,000 amateur event. It will not attract the crowds that the previous high-level quality production did, and the true traditional biblical story of Jesus Christ will be lost. Can you assure us you are willing to have a fresh, dispassionate reconsideration of this important issue? Your dismissal of serious request for information is not appreciated. We are speaking about a capital city that should cherish and uphold the traditional meaning of Christmas while concurrently respects other cultures. Interesting to note, the increased support for other multicultural events like Lunar New Year and Skyworks.
Thank you, Court. So I'll pass this question on to the CEO, but just noting that under the standing orders that people presenting questions are required to extend due courtesy and respect to the Council.
I think that I have.
CEO?
I think, as has been stated, questions relating to the Christmas Nativity have been responded previously.
Do you have any further questions?
So that question has not been answered, what I actually asked.
Next question, please. I think all of those questions have been answered.
Well, this is my personal question, and you're supposed to ask the personal questions that individuals put in to council. That's how it works in government. I'm an independent individual, and I should get an answer to the individual questions that I sent in. There should be an answer. They were viewed and they were sent by me for an answer, Deputy Mayor, in all due respect. And I would like to ask again, are you willing to have a fresh, dispassionate reconsideration of this important issue with the public?
Thank you. So the decision has been made, and that's what we've stated continuously in response to these questions. The decision has been made. The reasons for the decision are on the public record. So that's the answer to the question.
Because the only reason I saw is that it was going to be in line with Lunar New Year.
Okay, I think we'll move on. If you have any further questions.
Is that the reason? Because I didn't see any reason.
Moving on to the next question.
Oh, so you're not willing to give me the reason?
The reasons are in the papers, in the audio and on the minutes of the meeting. Next question, please.
So this question is to Councillor Fleeton. As a councillor...
Excuse me, I'll just have to interrupt you there, because unfortunately you're not able to address questions to particular councillors. You have to address the question to the presiding member.
So I can't refer to an individual. Is that what you're saying, Deputy Mayor?
Yes, the questions go through the presiding member.
Right. So how would you like me to address this then?
Do you have a question?
I didn't get a phone call from council to tell me that I couldn't ask this question, and I sent in my questions yesterday.
You can ask a question now.
Okay, but it actually refers to somebody, so...
You can ask the question.
Okay. As a councillor, you should have greater regard for the individual concerns of those who contact you. In responding to others, you have added and released...
Excuse me, I think I will have to stop you there, Quartz. It seems that you're appearing to make a statement about a particular councillor, so I have to...
No, I'm not making a statement. I'm trying to address a violation.
So what is the question?
And a violation in the Privacy Act.
So what is the question?
Well, that's what I was trying to read, but you stopped me in reading.
No, you were making a statement about a particular councillor. If you could please ask the question.
But that's what I said, in responding to others. My information's been added.
No, we're going to have to stop you there. You have to ask a question. Vicky, if you're entitled to ask your question.
So you have my question in front of you, Deputy Mayor.
Yes, I have the statements in front of me. I'm asking if there's a question in those statements.
Okay. There is a statement in the question. Why would it be referenced in an email to the public from a member of your council to not to be conned into thinking that you've cut the event?
I'll have to pass this on to the CEO. You're referring to a particular councillor.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I am unable to comment on specific matters. However, I would remind that all complaints are treated confidentially and dealt with under our due process.
Thank you, CEO. Any further questions?
And is that the same as councillors sharing people's information without consent?
Thank you for your questions. We're going to have to move on to the next question.
Sorry, I asked the CEO a question, Deputy Mayor. Does that rule apply when councillors share your personal information?
Again, just to remind you that questions need to go through the presiding member.
And I'm trying to do that, Deputy Mayor, in all due respect, but you keep blocking me on actually something that's important. And I seek from Councillor Fleeton at this meeting an apology for his error, but more importantly...
I think we'll have to stop you there. Again, as I said, this is not the appropriate forum.
Oh, it's not appropriate. So when would you like me to discuss when there's a violation against a citizen and my...
We've received your email. Again, I'll refer the CEO to deal with this.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. And any matters to do with the Council's Code of Conduct follows a full process, a due process, and anyone raising issues is managed as consulted as part of that process. So we're unable to make further comments at this stage.
Thank you, CEO. So that means that those questions you prefer dealt with in private, not on public meeting. Would I be correct in saying that?
Through the CEO?
There is a process for complaints.
So it's not something you want discussed at a public
meeting. This is not the forum.
Mm. Right. Mm. Okay, thank you.
Thank you
for taking my question.
That's all the questions that we have received to date. Are there any questions from the floor?
Can I ask you a question?
Okay. Yeah,
no,
there
was several more questions.
Okay, Steve Hart.
Yes. Oh, you might just have to go and drink the water.
Thank you, Steve. You can please state your address.
Yes, I live in Nedlands, but I have office space. We own property in 11 Ventnor Ave, West Perth. I'd sort of framed my questions, not realising that Basil would be doing his commentating thing for the Olympics. But anyway, I'll go ahead. And I might finish up with a broader question to the council in general, but here we go. Given the council voted on the 25th of May 2021, item 12.5, to cut the funding for the Nativity event from $330,000 to $50,000, which will be insufficient for this event to proceed, will the Lord Mayor, in keeping with his election commitment to do his utmost to see the Nativity event reinstated, seek to have the funding restored to the level the staff recommendation stated is needed to conduct this event? So I don't know whether the council's able to give a bit
Thank
of a response
you,
to that.
No, unfortunately, given that the Lord Mayor is not in attendance today, we'll have to take this question on notice.
Okay.
You will receive a response. Do you have another question?
I have got another question. So this is, can the Mayor explain how voting in support of the motion to reduce the funding for the Nativity event from $330,000 to $50,000 is consistent with his election commitment to do his utmost to see the Nativity event restored, and his comment at the reduced event in Forest Place last year that it was the wish of the people that the Nativity be part of the Christmas celebrations in the city of Perth?
Again, unfortunately, given that the Lord Mayor is not in attendance today, we'll have to take that question on notice and you'll receive a written response to your question.
Obviously that's not really satisfactory at this time, and I understand why, but could I get those questions read at the next council meeting so the Lord Mayor can answer those questions?
You're entitled to resubmit the questions for the next meeting and then the Lord Mayor will be able to respond.
Okay. Given Basil's emphasis isn't here today, can I ask a broader question to the council in general? I haven't submitted anything, but I was just going to say, as a ratepayer and seeing my money spent in the city of Perth, well, there's numerous things I could raise, but doesn't the council see the decline in our culture and the need for a positive message in the community? Having been in the city of Perth, I've noticed homeless rates increase. I've noticed indices such as the Scanlon Monash Social Cohesion Index showing an absolute decrease in social cohesion. And yet the council seems to not spend money on worthy causes, such as something that can build community and an absolutely positive event. And
Can I just clarify the question?
So the question is, rather than an absolute secular approach to all of your funding, can't we at least hold on to some of our culture through having an event that supports community values?
Yep, and we absolutely do have that event. The Nativity is funded and the Nativity event will go ahead in Forest Place, along with other Christmas celebrations, Christmas decorations, Christmas lights trail and the Christmas pageant.
Okay, and I suppose I'll just finish off saying it's very disappointing to see it go from 330 to 50 because we know what that means for the actual event. So it's almost disingenuous to say it is funded, but we're giving it 2 cents because it's not really, it doesn't add up, you know. If you're looking at something and you send some, you're staging an event which you're not adequately funding, in my belief.
Okay,
but anyway.
As previously stated, it is a different event. It's now in Forest Place and it's intended to be a successful event as it was last year, although
okay.
in a different format. Thank you for your question.
I'll be looking closely.
Judy Davis, question 10. Judy, I'll ask you to state your address as you approach the lectern.
Unit 2, 11 Scarpy Street, Scarborough. My first question is directed to the Lord Mayor. Can the Lord Mayor please explain why, when he said in 2020 in relation to the traditional Christmas Nativity production show, "Trust me, I will make it happen." And then in 2021, he voted in favour of slashing the funding from $330,000 to $50,000, thus ensuring that this event cannot proceed in its traditional format.
Thank you, Judy. As noted the previous question from Steve, the Lord Mayor is not in attendance today to respond, so this question will be taken on notice and we'll send you a written response.
Thank you. Now, my second question was addressed to the Lord Mayor, but I'll be happy for the CEO and perhaps Councillor Fleeton to answer it as well. Can the Lord Mayor confirm that all councillors are obligated to adhere to all legislation and codes of conduct? And if this is so, will he commit to investigate, or in fact she, if this is the CEO, commit to investigate why I have suffered a serious breach of my privacy as a result of an email that I sent complaining about the cut to the funding of the traditional Christmas Nativity production show?
I'll refer this question to the CEO.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Yes, I can confirm the Code of Conduct does apply to all councillors. However, I am unable to comment on specific matters, but all complaints are treated confidentially and with our due process.
So are you saying you will commit to investigate this business of breach of privacy?
Thank you. I'm unable to talk about individual matters, but I can say if a complaint is received, we will follow our proper process.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, CEO. Thank you. Are there any further questions from the floor? There's no further questions. We'll move on to item 5.4, deputations. CEO, are there any deputations?
Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor, we have received one deputation from David Gonzalez, co-chair of the City of Perth LGBTQIA Plus Advisory Group, in relation to item 12.1, Equity, Diversity and Inclusion.
Thank you, CEO. In accordance with section 5.93B of the Standing Orders, Local Law 2009, there's a 10-minute limit for deputations, so I'll ask you to please keep to that limit, David. And you can now make your deputation.
Good evening, Deputy Lord Mayor and councillors. I'm delighted to present this deputation on behalf of myself, David Gonsalves, of 40735 Bonte Street, and my co-chair, Paul Hunt, of 676 Campbell Street in West Perth. In October 2020, the City of Perth was embroiled in a cloud of controversy. Just 9 months on, after a lot of community scepticism and disdain, we are proud to have made headway in delivering a plan that will hopefully see the City of Perth embracing diversity and inclusion at its very core. I'm proud to quote the first openly elected LGBTIQ representative, Harvey Milk, who said that hope will never be silent, when he himself was involved in local government politics in San Francisco. I came to you with heartfelt outrage that as a resident of the city for now 20 years, that I witnessed the opposite of what I hoped to be. I wanted to believe that there could be a new era of elected representatives that could move on from the toxicity of the past, and instead I saw that toxicity targeting my own community. All people have an equal right to live free from violence, discrimination and stigma. And it's that basic premise that I and many others knew that hope couldn't stay silent. On the 30th of March, the City of Perth endorsed myself and Paul Hunt as chairs of the newly established LGBTIQA Plus Advisory Group. And it's a two-year role that we felt obligated to oversee, considering we were at the pointy end right from the beginning. As chairs, we were charged with ensuring the City's advisory group could engage with the community so as to champion change both internally and externally, all in less than 6 months. We knew that it wouldn't just be the contents of a plan that mattered, but also the very processes behind them. Processes that engage the community in a genuine way, in a way that the community feels is not only responsive, but indeed they are a part of. The LGBTIQA Plus Advisory Group, consisting of 15 members, have worked to engage the wider community and provide the kind of links and relationships that the city needs to tap into. It's a model of community partnerships that should be expanded. Embracing these relationships and the goodwill within its own community has the potential to develop and advance all manner of ideas, plans and issues that touch the City of Perth. It's true to say that the environment of the past perhaps left the city hesitant and even unknowing how to deal or manage with the community. But this new approach of embracing community outreach, no matter what the uncertainty, can lead to real positive change with a far, far firmer platform for the kind of legacy that truly lasts. Maybe it's my Catholic schooling that I still have to shake off, but I firmly believe that it's possible to have faith, and even faith in the community, while still living with uncertainty. It's been the overwhelming response of the community representatives on the advisory group that people are sceptical that this may be a marketing or even PR exercise, or even that the city might simply too tightly control the process to make it truly meaningful. The one message as chairs that we took on board was that this needed to be a community-owned initiative rather than simply a city-led response. And it's not one without its challenges to get others to understand where we are coming from. Now that this draft plan is out for public consultation, or will be, hopefully, I hope that the City of Perth can witness the benefits of this kind of genuine engagement. Not everything has to be a tightly controlled checkbox exercise. With real, genuine and wide-reaching engagement, you can bring people along to create solutions that may not even be visible and surely would not have had the kind of support without such efforts. It was never an accident that forming an advisory group with 15 members from such diverse fields within our community would produce such a response. It's one that no one should be scared or nervous about. We are indeed a passionate community with many hopes and dreams, but they are ones of diversity, ones of inclusion, and ultimately one of equality, ideals that we are proud that the City of Perth will be representing and reflecting. The framework and plan are truly living documents, with 34 key recommendations that embrace not only our goals and our hopes, but inevitably it's a foundation, and if not a first step, towards what the City can truly achieve. While not every recommendation has made it through, the advisory group are extremely proud of this document, and it's one that we will continue to be at the forefront of both its refinement and its actual implementation. As chairs over the next 2 years, both Paul and I will strive to ensure and deliver on that trust. If I could be as bold to highlight just one of our key recommendations, it would be the one with overwhelming community support that is in the process right now of further external development as we speak. Throughout the consultation process, it was clear that the LGBTI community has been calling for a creation of a physical presence that could be a focal point for people of diverse sexuality and genders to celebrate culture, centralise health services, forge new connections, and house important advocacy organisations. Such a building or space would be called the Perth Pride Hub, and it's a natural, though not automatic, that this space should be in the boundaries of the City of Perth. A Perth Pride Hub could reactivate parts of the city by using many of the vacant buildings or land, all while meeting the needs as a base camp for services, groups, organisations, and others to collaborate. They could then share resources and further their work in supporting equality, diversity and inclusion across our city and indeed the entire state of Western Australia. It's important to note that just this month, Melbourne itself has now finalised plans to construct its own version, named the Victorian Pride Centre, that revolves around many of the same core principles. The chairs believe that with the right kind of private, government and city support, and continuing the partnerships fostered in our advisory group, a similar project could be successfully delivered as a lasting legacy to all of our efforts. This is a very exciting recommendation. It would bring economic benefits and the potential to reactivate parts of the city that sorely need it, all while meeting a truly unmet community need and expectation that is missing from this state and this city. Such a concept would bring pride to Perth all year round. And with that note, I'm delighted that a number of community members have already come together to propose an exploratory committee for such a project to further engage with stakeholders and work towards a viable business plan. Very, very early details are already at perthpridehub.org. To date in this plan, we have all but scratched the surface of initiatives the City of Perth could implement. But rest assured that we will strive to for the very best for our city and to guarantee that the City of Perth retains its place as the core and the heart of the LGBTI community. As chairs, I would like to acknowledge the work of the entire 15 panel of the advisory group, along with the CEO Michelle, staff Carly and Sam, but in particular two standout staff members who have stood out, Emma Launders and Lauren Briefy, have committed themselves with faith and goodwill that has made this possible. And lastly and truly, to yourselves as councillors, as democratically elected representatives, it might not often get said, but for me personally, we're gaining hope and faith in local council, even if it comes with a fraction of the kind of work burden that you all know too well, has been one of the greatest rewards so far. I can thoroughly recommend that this council move to endorse the equity framework and indeed the LGBTI plan for further public consultation and look forward to the next phases for our community and our city. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dave, for that deputation. And it's so good to hear that it was a genuine process that you felt engaged in and that you're proud of the document that's been produced. So that certainly is great feedback as we move to that decision later on this evening. Thank you for the time you spent in putting that presentation together. Very much appreciated. Do any councillors have any questions in relation to David's deputation? No questions? Thanks again, David. The next item on the agenda is number 6, disclosures of interest. CEO, do we have any disclosures?
No, Deputy Lord Mayor, we have not received any disclosures of interest.
Thank you, CEO. Do any councillors have any disclosures of interest from the floor? No? Okay. Moving on to item 7, confirmation of minutes. Would anyone like to move a motion to confirm the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on 7th July 2021 and the special council meeting held on 13 July 2021? Okay, thank you, Councillor Gordon. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Bevan. This motion being... do any members oppose this motion? No. This motion being unopposed, I now declare it carried unanimously. Item 8, questions by members which due notice has been given. CEO, are there any questions?
No, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, CEO. Item 9, correspondence. Has any correspondence been received, CEO?
No, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Item 10, petitions. CEO, have any petitions been received?
No, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, CEO. Now, before we move on to the reports, I'm moving a motion that the following items be carried en bloc. Item 14.1, schedule of accounts paid, May 2021. Item 14.2, monthly financial report for May 2021. Item 15.1, Quarterly Progress Report, City of Perth Corporate Business Plan. Item 15.3, Inquiry into the City of Perth Recommendations, Quarterly Progress Update. Item 15.4, Review of Policy 12.4, Payments under Section 5.5 of the Local Government Act 1995. Item 16.2, review of Council Policy 6.3, State Register of Heritage Places. Item 16.3, review of Council Policy 18.2, Cultural Collections. Item 16.4, review of Council Policy 1.5, Public Art. Item 16.6, review of Council Policy 8.1, Circuses and the Use of Performing Animals. Item 16.7, review of Council Policy 14.13, Management of Private Use of Boat Pens in Claysbrook Cove. Item 16.8, review of Council Policy 9.8, Contract Variations, Authority to Incur Liability. Item 16.9, review of Council Policy 12.5, Recognition of Employees' Service Presentations. And item 16.10, review of the Governance Framework. Can I now get a seconder for this motion? Councillor Fleeton, do any members oppose this motion? This motion being unopposed, I now declare it carried unanimously. The recommendations of those items have now been passed on block in accordance with Clause 9.2 of the City of Perth Standing Orders, Local Law 2009, and the officers' recommendations have been adopted by Council. We will now be moving on to the reports extracted for debate. The first item is 11.1, Light It Up, Part 2, Adelaide Terrace Pedestrian Bridge. Councillor Leeser, I believe you may have an alternate motion.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I have an alternate motion. It's on the screen already. Great. So the alternate motion is that Council approves option 2 for Light It Up Part 2 Adelaide Terrace Pedestrian Bridge Project. And part 2 of that motion is that it notes that the installation of the new lighting to the bridge will commence in late 2021.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder for that motion? Yes. Seconder?
To debate it, I'm happy to second it.
Yes. Okay, thank you, Councillor Fleeden. Seconder. Councillor Leeser, would you like to speak to your motion?
East Perth residents have asked for beautification at this end of Adelaide Terrace. Rather than lighting the bridge structure, as seen in option 4, option 2 lights up the circular parts of the bridge structure as well as adds a design element only seen at night. No other lighting projects in the city have this design, as seen in option 2. This will create a point of difference with how the bridge looks during the day and make this bridge stand out from all other bridges and lighting projects. I note that there are about 5 other bridges along the freeway just in the South Perth and Como area that look exactly like this one. Additionally, option 2 represents a cost saving over recommended option 4. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Leeser. Would the seconder like to talk to the motion? No. Would anyone else like to speak for the motion? Councillor Gordon?
Can I foreshadow the officer's recommendation?
Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Can someone second that foreshadowing? Thank you, Councillor Bain. Moving on, anyone else like to speak? Thank you, Councillor Gobbett.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Yeah, I agree with Councillor Leeser's motion. The bridge, in my view, could do with a bit of TLC. It's been around for a while, and as Councillor Leeser quite rightly pointed out, the East Perth community have been crying out for a little more activation, a little more lightness and brightness in this area, and I think option four presents that quite nicely, so I'd be quite happy to support Councillor Leeser's motion. Thank you.
Councillor Gobbett, I think the Councillor Leeser's motion is in relation to... It's option 2, not option 4.
So the
officer's recommendation is for 4. So you're speaking against Councillor Leeser's?
Correct. Apologies for the confusion there. Apologies for that.
Thank you, Councillor Gold. Would anyone else like to speak for Councillor Leeser's alternate motion? Anyone else against Councillor Leeser's alternate motion?
Just for comments. People have been crying out for this for a while. I can't believe how long it's taken for your motion to then come through to this. I appreciate we got along. If we're going to do it once, let's do it well, and let's do the whole thing. I appreciate Councillor Leeser's comments around the cost, but we anticipated this type of budget when we talked about it last year. It's in the budget. We don't have to grab it from anywhere else. So I think 4, to me, looks the best design, and we've got the budget. So happy to support the foreshadowed motion.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Councillor Fleeton, I've just combined you with Councillor Leeser. I'll just speak against the alternate motion, being the person that originally put up the motion, although I did put up for a lesser budget. I think, you know, the administration has been through and created a really elegant solution to this bridge, and lighting the bridge will create a dramatically different night presence and a welcoming gateway to our city. I think it's an elegant response that we should be proud of. So if there's no one else to speak, I'll now put the alternate motion.
Sorry. I just had a question.
Okay. Councillor Bain.
Thank you. If we do go with Councillor Lees's alternate motion, we would then be saving $90,000. Could we then repurpose that money for the Nativity play?
I'll refer that to CEO.
I may need to take some governance advice, but I think that the whole reallocation would need to come back to council. So the decision before you is which particular option do you prefer, and then once that decision is made, then at a later point we could come back to council for advice.
I guess just to be clear, what have we budgeted for?
If I could do
through the chair,
through the Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you, the General Manager Community. To the General Manager Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you. We did budget, I think, $180,000 for this project, so it is actually allocated in the current budget.
Thanks. Thank you. Any further questions? I'll then ask Councillor Leeson to close the debate. Thank you. As I said, I spotted five of the exact same pedestrian bridges along the freeway, so there's nothing distinguishing this architectural form from those. So if we just light it up as it is, it's just going to look like a bridge. If we do option two, it's actually going to have a design feature about it, and I note that the administration did hire a designer to come up with these options. So I still believe option two, not just from a budget point of view, but because of a design point of view, will distinguish this bridge from others and make it memorable in East Perth. Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Lisa. I'll now put the alternate motion to the vote. All those in favour? So it's Councillor Lisa, Councillor Bain and Councillor Coe. And all those against? Councillor Gordon, Councillor Bevan, Councillor Gobbett, Councillor Fleeton and Deputy Lord Mayor. So now that alternate motion has not been passed, we'll go to the foreshadowed motion. Lost 5-3, sorry. And so I'll ask Councillor Gordon speak to the motion.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I hadn't planned to speak to this item, but just needed to foreshadow it in the event that the alternate did not get up. I prefer option four in accordance with the officer's recommendation. I think it respects the architecture of the bridge as well as providing the greatest, I guess, luminosity across the extent of the area. So that is why I prefer it, and I think that will be in line with community expectation of the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gordon, and the seconder for this motion. Thank you, Councillor Bevan. Would you like to speak to the motion?
No, I've got nothing further to add other than say I think it's an excellent proposition.
Thank you, Councillor Bevan. Would anyone else like to speak for the motion?
Another question, sorry.
Thank you, Councillor Bain.
Did the officers end up speaking to the East Perth Community Group and the Terrace Working Group?
Through the CEO?
If I can invite the General Manager Planning and Economic Development to comment.
There's been no public consultation on this project. The approach was to gain the preferred option from the council before we would go to any of the residents to tell them. Normally the process would be that we would go to them regarding the installation.
Okay.
So no, we have not gone to them.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Any further questions, Councillor Bain? Anyone else like to speak against the motion? No one else like to speak? I'll just speak briefly. Given that I put this motion up, as I've said a few times, to make a great city, we need big ideas and small. The big ideas take millions of dollars and years to implement. So in the meantime, I've been proposing a series of small ideas, minor urban interventions to be implemented in the short time to add colour and life to our city streets at night and to improve vibrancy. The quirky relics from our past, such as this Adelaide Terrace footbridge, add character to our city and should be seen as an opportunity. Such things have a history and cannot be replicated in the suburbs. So we need to celebrate and highlight these assets, providing our residents and visitors with a unique and memorable experience in our city. Through this simple project, we can continue our work of creating a more interesting and walkable city for everyone, building on the theme of the City of Lights, celebrating Perth's historic moment of being seen from space. And lighting the bridge will create a dramatically different night presence and a very welcoming gateway to our city. Councillor Gordon, would you like to close the debate?
Well said, nothing further from me.
Thank you, Councillor Gordon. I'll now put this to the vote. All those in favour? That's Councillor Gordon, Councillor Bain, Councillor Coe, Councillor Bevan, Deputy Lord Mayor Gobert, Fleeshan, and all those against, Councillor Leeser. So that motion's carried 7-1. So the next item on the agenda is item 12.1, Equity, Diversity and Inclusion Plan. Would anyone like to move a motion to deal with this item? Thank you, Councillor Gobert. Can we have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Coe. Would the mover like to speak to this item?
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Firstly, I just wanted to thank the staff involved in this process and note some of the members of the LGBTQIA plus committee and allies here this evening. I wanted to thank them personally for their efforts in guiding the city in developing the framework. I know as a volunteer, you donate a lot of your time and we're grateful, and I'm personally grateful. I know that, as others have said in the past, it's a fairly thankless task sometimes, but if no one said it today, thank you, if you're here from the committee. So really, I'll keep it brief and leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gobert. Would the seconder like to speak? Councillor Coe?
I'll just like to add, this is a great document. It's a great place to start, and it is how democracy sort of works. You want to hear back from the community on how they want to be governed. My only suggestion is, when it comes to public health, is to also consider that we are in the area that's serviced by Royal Perth Hospital, which is also serviced by the SHQ, which does have a good relationship with the LGBT community. So my suggestion is maybe keep them in mind in the public health section of this document.
Thank you, Councillor Coe. Would anyone else like to speak for? Councillor Gordon?
I just have a quick question or potential comment regarding the LGBTQIA plus plan. And under item 13, it talks about all elected members, committee members and candidates to complete mandatory training. I don't think we can compel candidates to complete training, and in fact the subpoints then don't refer to candidates. So I'm just thinking that candidates probably needs to be removed.
I'll refer that question to CEO.
So with the support of council, we would make that administrative adjustment.
Thank you, CEO. Any further questions?
Well, but sorry, thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. But our code of conduct has that as well. We can't enforce that on a candidate. Have it uniform. If it's going to be in the code of conduct, it should flow through all other documents.
Thank you, Councillor Lynn. I'll refer that to the CEO.
I think you'll find that's required by law, that our code of conduct has that provision.
Any further questions, Councillor Fleeshan? Thank you. Anyone else like to speak for the motion? Anyone? Councillor Bain?
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Can I just make a comment? Thanks to David and Paul, who did a phenomenal job corralling everyone to make this work. It's awesome, and I love that there are so many familiar faces in the document, and it's exciting to see, and it's lovely to have this level of engagement with the LGBTI community. So thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Blaine. Anyone else for, against? Again, I'll just reiterate the thanks to David to come in and represent your committee and just to let us know that it was a genuine engagement process and that you're proud of the outcome. So that then gives us confidence in this document. We'll now put them. We'll get the mover to close up the debate.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. And just while we are on the item, it would be remiss of me not to mention that it is three parts to the motion and that there is also a representative from the Disability Access and Inclusion Plan Working Group here with the City this evening. So thank you also for coming along. Nothing else to add. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now put the matter to the vote. All those in favour? And that's passed unanimously. We now move to item 13, Infrastructure and Operations Alliance reports. There are no Infrastructure and Operations Alliance reports for discussion at this meeting. Item 14, Corporate Services Alliance reports. Firstly, item 14.1 was carried en bloc. Item 14.2 was also carried en bloc. Now move to item 15, Chief Executive Officer reports. Item 15.1 was carried en bloc. And item 15.2, Corporate Business Plan. Would anyone like to move a motion to deal with this item? Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Can I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Would the mover like to speak? Seconder?
No.
Anyone else like to speak to the matter? Okay, there'll be no further questions. Would the mover like to close the debate? No. We'll now put the matter to the vote. All those in favour? And that was passed unanimously. Item 15.3 was also carried en bloc. And item 15.4 was carried en bloc. We now move to item 16, committee reports. Item 16.1, would someone like to move the officer's recommendation? Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Do we have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Would the mover like to speak?
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. So this came about after a notice of motion after we were all elected, and I just wanted to pause to thank the administration for its hard work. I know there's commentary in there saying it might be a bit rushed, but that was kind of the purpose of the motion. I didn't want the city to be hanging around and talking about things going around in circles. I think to look at it with a lens of it being very simple to read, to combining things, to just getting through this body of work, and I know how hard the staff has worked. It's really the unsexy part of local government going through these type of things. But it's stuff that we have to get right, setting that culture internally. And now I'd love to see the city take the same approach to all of the policies operationally that face customers more often. We've done a lot of navel-gazing in getting the place sorted. 9 months, 10 months might be a very long time, but it's also a very short time as well in righting the wrongs of what's happened before. So just a quick note, thank you to the staff for all the hard work. Thanks to Councillor Gobbett for chairing the committee. I know we weren't all able to make every committee meeting, but these type of things are important because if we don't get them right, they fester they carry on for a long period of time. So moving beyond the next election, we can focus on things where customers are impacted as well.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Would the seconder like to speak?
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. And yes, I'd like to also thank Councillor Fleeton for bringing this motion to the floor. Good governance really is at the helm of what we were elected to do, in my view. Setting the strategic direction of the city in council policies. And in the first week that we were elected, and I'm reading through the briefing pack, and I remember reading bits of local laws that have been around for nearly 20 years, and that's just not appropriate. I know that we're still yet to go through the review of those local laws, but understanding that there's a separate process to that, reviewing the council policies, I think, was absolutely an integral first step for us as an elected body. So to my colleagues around the table, thank you for putting in the hours and the effort in attending committee meetings and reading through and debating little bits and pieces. But we've made some pretty significant decisions, even in purchasing policies, in divestment of land. And I think it's not a small thing. It's not insignificant. And so to the staff that have put in the hours to go through and review all of this information to present it, as concisely and consistently, I think, is the main thing. So I just want to say that it's been a very worthwhile and fulfilling process, and thank you to all those involved. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Gullett. Would anyone else like to speak for the motion? Anyone against? So I'd just like to reiterate the comments of Councillor Fleet and Councillor Gobbett. Thank you again, Councillor Fleet, for putting forward this motion in the first place, and Councillor Gobbett for chairing the committee, though it was a long and an often tedious task of reading through policy after policy. I think we're now across all of the policies and we've made great improvements in many areas. So no further questions or debate. I'll now ask the mover to close. No further questions. They'll now put the matter to the vote. All those in favour? And that was carried unanimously. Item 16.2 was carried on block. Item 16.3 was also carried on block. And item 16.4 was carried on block. And item 16.5, would anyone like to move a motion to deal with this item? Item 16.5, commemorative work, standing of reserves and buildings provision plots. Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Seconder, thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Would the mover like to speak? No? Would the seconder like to speak? I would like to move an amendment to this motion. So I would like to move an amendment that point 4 be amended to state that Council adopts policy 4.9, commemorative works, subject to the deletion of clause 3.2b of the policy. The reason being, clause 3.2b currently states works commemorating individuals, events or organisations should not be approved within 10 years of the death, completion or dissolution of the subject in order to ensure there's ample opportunity to relatively objectively establish a cultural significance. To be honest, I think that it's absurd to say it takes 10 years after death to establish cultural significance. A few examples locally, Fiona Stanley Hospital or Bob Hawke High School, and in Melbourne, in contrast, ACDC Lane. In the case of ACDC Lane, based on Wikipedia, the street was formerly named Corporation Lane, but as a tribute to the Australian rock band ACDC, the lane was officially renamed in 2004 in recognition to ACDC's ties to Melbourne and the lane's position in the city's bar and rock district, and also that the band famously filmed their music video in Swanston Street, which ran parallel. The previous name, Corporation Lane, meant nothing, and it was apparently a generic name assigned to an otherwise unnamed lane in Melbourne. I note that the revised policy quotes the Borough Charter. I'd also like to quote the Borough Charter, which states that the cultural significance of many places is not readily apparent and therefore must be explained by interpretation. The places in our city have many layers of significance with many stories, often not apparent to passers-by, the history, recent and past. And personally, I believe these stories should be more readily apparent on our streets. And that's why in February I supported Councillor Bevan's motion, Historical Northbridge, to tell the stories of our city. This history can't be replicated in suburban shopping malls and new developments in the suburbs, so we need to celebrate and highlight these stories. There are many amazing bands who started in Perth. I'm not a music expert, but Tame Impala, Eskimo Joe, John Butler Trio, Birds of Tokyo, perhaps that some of them have ties with Northbridge we could explore and celebrate, making our city's history relevant to people of all ages. As I said, to be honest, I think it's absurd to say it takes 10 years after death to establish cultural significance. That's why I'm asking you to support this amendment. Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Councillor Gobbett. Would the seconder like to speak to the motion?
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Just adding to your point, I think you've articulated it quite well. To that end, I would think what we would be driving on, if we weren't able to consider Geoffrey Bolton Ave or Telethon Ave, an individual or an organisation. I know it's referring to works here, but I think the sentiment still reflects needing to respond in a quicker time frame. So I'm happy to support your amendment.
Thank you, Councillor Gollett. Would anyone else like to speak in favour? Anyone against the amendment? Okay, we'll now put the amendment to the vote. All those in favour of the amendment? So that's Councillor Gordon, Councillor Bain, Councillor Coe, Councillor Bevan, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Gobbett, Councillor Fleeton, and all those against the amendment, Councillor Leeser. So the amendment's carried, 7-1. We'd now go back to the substantive motion as amended, and that should now be on screen. So would the mover like to speak? The mover's already spoken to the motion? Yep. Would anyone else like to speak for the motion? Against? Would the mover like to close the debate?
No, thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Govett. I'll now put that motion to the vote. All those in favour? And that's unanimous. Item 16.6 was carried on block. Item 16.7 was also carried on block. And item 16.8 was carried on block. Item 16.9 was carried on block. And item 16.10. Moving now to item 17, motions of which notice has been given. We've received a notice of motion from Councillor Fleeton regarding Community Group Insurance Support Program. Councillor Fleeton, would you like to move your motion?
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. I move that Council requests that the Chief Executive Officer investigates the establishment of a Community Group Insurance Support Program, taking into consideration A, options for administering the program, B, eligibility criteria, C, managing the city's risk exposure, and D, costs, and 2, request the CEO report the outcome of the investigation to Council at its December ordinary meeting.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Do I have a seconder for this motion? Thank you, Councillor Govett. Would the seconder like to speak to the motion?
I might.
Oh, Councillor Fleeton, would you like to speak?
Right,
sorry.
I just want to quickly start by saying I had every intention of asking a series of questions in Feb when this was raised with us, and a question went into the city, and it took this long for it to be answered, and the staff have worked well to get this motion drafted to progress it. So I really wanted it in the normal budget considerations. So we've had lots of discussions around this table about doing things in the proper order. So I was trying to, but hopefully if this is successful tonight, we can weave it into the mid-year review. The reasons provided are in the agenda, but I'll read it out for the audio. We're home to various neighbourhood groups all run by committed volunteers who all add life to our community. We've seen this over our 9 months together through various events and sponsorships. These groups are often closer to their community than anyone else, and they spend money far more efficiently. If we can remove these basic operational costs, both related to administrative burdens and insurance premiums, we do remove a barrier and show our support as their local council. If the motion is passed, the city will come up with options for council, which provides the best scenario for both ratepayers and the broader community while ensuring risk is managed appropriately.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Councillor Gobert, do you need to add? Would anyone else like to speak for the motion? Would anyone like to speak against the motion? Thank you, Councillor Leeser.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I think that jumping into the realm of providing insurance is fraught with danger. The insurance, not that I'm an expert, but the insurance world is certainly going through much upheaval, funding issues, risk issues. And as I note from the discussion in the papers, that the city is not equipped to provide any advice to the groups about the suitability of the insurance for their risk exposure, and the community groups may also expect that the insurance provided is adequate for their risk. So I think there's a problem there. It could also create the perception that the city is the product issuer. That is not our aim as a city. And we don't want to get into the realm of being an intermediary between our community groups and ourselves and any insurance companies. I just think this is fraught with danger. Although I commend Councillor Fleeton on what he's trying to do, I think there's unintended consequences that could come up. Thank you.
Hold on. Thank you, Councillor Leeser. Would anyone else like to speak for the motion? Thank you, Councillor Gordon.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. I guess just in response to the previous comments from Councillor Leeser, that the officer's response does provide two alternatives, including the city-funded option, which would alleviate some of these concerns. It is potentially there is still risk associated with getting involved in insurance, and certainly it is a developing space, but I appreciate the way that the elected member's motion has been written. It's to investigate what the options are. There's consideration in there for managing the city's risk exposure, and as such I think it's a good direction for the city to head in, at least to explore our options in order to facilitate more events from our community groups.
Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Councillor Bain.
Thank you. I'm speaking for the motion as well. I initially thought that Councillor Gobbett's budget session with the community groups was going to cover this off, and that we were going to maybe at some point provide some budget to help with the community groups, because insurance and public liability is a huge issue for them. Clearly, that hasn't happened. So in the absence of that, thank you for putting up this motion. I think it will go a long way to helping lots of volunteers in our community who are wanting to do really good things, but, you know, typically getting insurance and having to deal with that will be problematic. And I also note the officer, the motion has been appropriately written to say let's investigate, not let's just jump in, let's investigate. So that's the reason why I'm supporting Councillor Fleeton's motion.
Would anyone else like to speak against the motion? For the motion? I'll just add, I'm speaking in support of the motion. I think the community groups work really hard to create great events in our city that are authentic and help develop the identity of our distinct neighbourhoods. And just, I think it was last week or the week before, the CEO and Councillor Gobbett and myself were at the launch of a new mural and artwork in West Perth, where we're developing the botanical theme through West Perth, its proximity to Ichi Kings Park, and then, you know, Claysbrook Cove and the East Perth group are developing different themes, and they deliver events and activations so cost effectively with the support of the city. So, yeah, I think if we can do something to support their ongoing activations, then this is in the right direction. I'll ask the mover to close the debate.
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Cost is certainly one thing, but the major thing that some of these groups have said to me is they're all run by volunteers. You have limited time that they put in. You want them doing high-value things like running events and getting behind those type of things, not being bogged down in the requirements that insurance puts onto them. So this just says let's go away and find out a happy medium, like the funding, that would be good. Because if we didn't have these groups running events in the community, that focus then shifts on us, and they can do it far cheaper than we can. So I would like to see the report not just saying here's $10,000 for the premium, but some way of wearing the administrative burden as well, without going too far. But that's a discussion that'll happen once you've done the research. So it's a very, very simple way of saying, you know, we'd much prefer your volunteers spending time doing things that community love. And no one knows that these volunteers have to sit there writing forms at 9 p.m. on a Thursday night to make sure that the insurance is covered, and we should try and alleviate that for them. So it's a pretty simple request. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. I'll now put that item to the vote. All those in favour? That's Councillor Gordon, Councillor Bain, Councillor Coe, Councillor Bevan, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Gobbett, Councillor Fleeton. All those against? Councillor Leeson. That motion's carried 7-1. The next item is 18, matters which the meeting may be closed. There are no items for consideration under item 18. So we'll move to item 19, urgent business. CEO, are there any items for urgent business on today's agenda?
No, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, CEO. There being no further business, I now declare the ordinary council meeting closed at 6:22 p.m. Thank you, everyone.
All right. You're